Well, let's come to the scriptures. Let's come to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and we'll begin to read at verse 20. This is God's word. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days was accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses was accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And because there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marvelled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. This is God's holy word. Well, the heading I've got for us tonight, after reading what we've just read, is it starts in heaven and is enacted in on earth. It starts in heaven and it's enacted on earth, or organized in eternity, fulfilled in time. I think the second one's a bit easier. Organized in eternity and fulfilled in time. Paul tells us that we were chosen in Christ before the foundations of the earth. And John the Baptist says to his 2 disciples, Behold the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundation of the earth. And Jesus, in Matthew chapter 25, when he's on the judgment, he says to his people that are standing on the right hand side, Enter into the kingdom prepared for by your Father before the foundations of the earth. So it's organized in eternity. And it's hard to understand. In fact, it's impossible to understand what was in the mind of the triune God when they made this covenant between them that there would be a creation, but into this creation there would be a fall, a sin against the Godhead, but that God wouldn't destroy, but that God would save. And in this covenant between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they must have spoken about who was going to save and how are they going to be saved. And that's why we have in the Old Testament the lambs and the goats and the bullocks and the blood. Gallons and gallons and gallons of blood in the Old Testament being shed that God had given to the people. And in Leviticus chapter 17 it tells us there that he says that he gave them the blood that was on the altar. Now you can look at that two ways. He said that this blood should be used. He gave the blood. But in the second one, when we come to the New Testament, God gave the blood. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So all this was spoken about and worked out in heaven, in eternity, before there was time. It's hard to imagine what it was like. Everything must have been laid there before the Lord. And he chose this one and that one, and he bypassed this one, and he bypassed that one. It must have been the same for Moses when he showed Moses all the things concerning the tabernacle. When Moses was up there for 40 days and 40 nights, and God says to him, make it exactly, not as I told you, but as you saw. God laid it all out up in the mountain, and Moses saw everything, even to the little pin, the last pin, and everything had to be made according to God's word. And salvation is according to God's word. And my dear friends, it was organized in heaven. It was organized in eternity before there was anything. And it was decided then that Jesus, the Son of God, he would come. He would take upon him flesh. The great mystery, as Paul talks about in Philippians, the great mystery, God, the eternal God who spoke at the beginning and everything came into being, the same God took upon himself flesh and he became man. He was exactly the same as me, except for sin. But he looked like a man, because he was a man. The only thing, the difference between him and those that he had created, was that he was the one without sin. One sin disqualified him from being a saviour. One sin, then he had to die for his own self. But my Saviour, this one here that Simeon took upon and into his arms, he was the sinless Son of God, the eternal Son of God, the second person in the Trinity. Yes, it was organized in eternity and it was fulfilled in time. Psalm 68. In verse 20, he that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belongeth the issues of death. That's why Simeon knew that he was going to die. Simeon was an incredible man. He must have been well known, because Jerusalem was a big place. And yet it tells us there, Luke tells us there, that behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout. So he must have been well known. He was just. He was just amongst men. But he was devout concerning God. I've got down here, he was just. Walking in the Spirit, listening to the Spirit, and he was obedient to the Spirit. in his witness concerning men. He was devout because he was a regular at the throne of grace. Look at verse 26 where it says about them. This is amazing. There's three things in these verses that it tells us about Simeon. And in verse 26, "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." Verse 26 tells me that he was waiting for death. He'd been told that he was going to die, which was a natural thing. Death came through sin. The wages of sin is death. But here it tells us in verse 26 that he lived, but he lived waiting for death. Verse 29 tells us, "Lord, now let thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word." He was not only looking to die, waiting to die, he was wanting to die. I take it that Simeon was an old man. I take it that he was in later years. Many of the commentators say different things concerning Simeon, who his father was and where he came from, and think, but it doesn't tell us in the scriptures who he was. It just tells us that he was living in Jerusalem and that he was a just and a devout man. He was just among the people. He was recognized as a just man. You could trust that man. But it also tells us that he was devout. His life was given over to the Lord. And he was not only waiting, but he was wanting to die. "Lord, now let now thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word." You and I tonight are waiting to die. But the point is, do we want to die? Do we want the Lord to take us tonight? Or tomorrow? Or do you want to see your grandchildren at Christmas time? Or you see want this at Christmas time? "Lord, don't take me now. Take me after Christmas," sort of thing. People have that attitude. "Not now, Lord." "Oh, not now." But here was this old man. The Lord had informed him that he was going to die, even though he knew he was going to die. But this was a word from God, and you're going to die, but not until you see the Lord's Christ. And that's what we see in verse 30. "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." He was welcoming death. In our village this last 4 weeks, there's about four people that have died. We're going to a funeral tomorrow. We know where John is. I don't know where the rest are. But John was a Christian. And they fought against death. In a sense that they had the medical aid to try to cure them. Now, I would do the same, and there's nothing wrong with that. God has given us the medicine and the medicals, and we should use them, of course we should. But we should never get to the thinking that this, "I want to keep on living. I must keep on living." If that was the Lord's attitude, it wouldn't say in the scripture that he set his face as a flint to go to Calvary. He would have tried to put it off. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't take these medical aids. I've taken medical aid. Otherwise, I might have gone. God has supplied them. should always be at the back of the mind. As I said here the last time I preached about Terry Puttock, a colleague of mine who died just not that long ago, and his family was round about the bed. He'd had cancer for a lot of years, and his family were round about the bed, and his last words were, and this is what it said in the letter, his last words were, "The best is yet to come." Now, he was like Simeon. He was waiting. He was wanting. And he was welcoming. Because he knew that what Paul said, absent from the body, present with the Lord. The soul has been set free. The body is still here, and the body will go into corruption. Paul tells us that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We know that. But the soul is set free. The soul cannot die. Because God breathed into man, and he became a living soul. Anything that comes from God must be eternal. And if God breathed into man, he breathed eternity into man. Our soul will never die. And Terry knew this, absent from the body. As soon as my eyes close, my soul is set free as a bird. Something said like that to the psalmist. If I was a bird, I could fly away. But if I was a bird and he flew away, he would have taken his sin with him. But when the soul flies away, there's no sin. The sin has been dealt with on the cross. And that remaining sin has been dealt with in the grave. Organized in eternity, fulfilled in time. But then we can change it around, organized on earth and fulfilled in heaven. What is organized on earth? Well, Matthew chapter 16, verse 16 to 18, it tells us there, Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am? Who do the people say that I am?" And Peter gives different descriptions. But Jesus says, "Well, who do you say I am?" And that's the question for us tonight. Who do you say Jesus Christ is? John tells us in his first epistle, if you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then you can't be saved. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That he is divine. He's the only one who ever walked on this earth who had two natures. And these natures never merged together. They remained as two natures. He was the Son of God and he was the Son of Man. He was divine and he was human. It was organized on earth, yes. Who do you say that I am? We say that you are the Christ. Well, on this rock, not Peter, but on his testimony, that was the rock. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And that's it being organized on earth. The church was started on earth. Although the blueprint was in heaven, because everything was there. But it was organized on earth. And in John chapter 14 verses 2 and 3 tells us that it will be fulfilled in heaven. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Who do you say Christ is? If you want to be there also, then you must believe that he is the Son of God, the eternal Son of God. I don't know what the ecumenical preach. But they certainly don't preach the doctrines of grace, that Jesus Christ alone, that there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And this, the angel said, you will call his name Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. There's another question for you. Do you believe tonight that you're a sinner? Everybody's a sinner. That moment that fruit came from that tree and entered into the mouth of Adam and Eve, or I should say Eve and Adam, whichever way you want to put it. The moment that happened, sin entered into the world. And God, Jesus, and his, when he came down in the cool of the evening, every evening, told them, don't eat of that. Satan says, well, you won't die. Because God knows that when you eat of that, you'll be just like him. And their first parents fell for it. And the result is that everyone from that is conceived in sin, is born in sin, and lives in sin. And then they will die in sin unless the Lord does a work of grace. When we talk about heaven, we must talk about hell. When we were on the streets, many of the alkies, or the drug addicts, or the glue sniffers used to say, this is hell. Hell on earth. And I was able to say to them, it can't be. This can't be hell. How can it not be hell, they said. I said, because I'm a Christian, and I'm going to be with the Lord, that I'll never go to hell. My sins have all been forgiven, and the Lord is going to take me to be with him. And that tells me in the scripture that hell is forever. When the rich man went to hell, he knew he was there forever. Because it tells us in that same parable that there's a gap between heaven and hell, and no one can pass from either side. So this can't be hell. It may feel like hell, but it isn't hell. Hell is still to come, and heaven is still to come. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that you should not see death before you see the Lord's Christ. Now no one had seen the Lord's Christ. Jesus had appeared in the Old Testament on many occasions. I would say it was he had a borrowed body, the same as some of the angels when they came. They were recognized as men, and they had a borrowed body. For angels don't have bodies, they're spirits. And when we read about the Lord Jesus Christ appearing in the Old Testament, when he came down to Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening, every evening to talk to them, when the angel appeared to Manoah, they saw a figure. And when Abraham saw the three angels coming, the middle one was the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a temporary body to fulfill what the Father had sent them to do. So he's going to see the Lord's Christ, not in a temporary body, but he's going to see him physically. And when Jesus was born, he had not a temporary body, he had a permanent body. Jesus is in heaven at the moment as a man. because he ascended as a man. When they looked up, they saw him disappearing into a cloud. He didn't disappear, but he disappeared into the cloud. And we have a man today standing before our Heavenly Father, who is our advocate, who is our intercessor. And he said here that you're going to see him. How he must have lived after that. Every time when he heard someone was coming to be dedicated, maybe he thought, maybe this is the Lord's Christ. Let's go into it. And he would be disappointed until that time when it tells us here the Holy Spirit moved him. And what was that custom? Why was Mary and Joseph and the Lord Jesus Christ in the temple? What was the law that had to be fulfilled? Well, Genesis chapter 17 and verses 10 to 12. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of a stranger which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs to be circumcised on the 8th day. That's why they were there. But it wasn't after the 8th day that they went to the temple. There was another 33 days. 33 days if it was a male child, she was classed as unclean. If it was a female child, it was 66. So she couldn't come into there just after he was circumcised. He would have been circumcised, I believe, in a synagogue. Leviticus chapter 12. Verses 2, 4, 6 and 7. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman hath conceived seed and born a man child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, according to the days of the separation from her infirmity. She'll be unclean. And in the 8th day, the day of the flesh of the foreskin, shall be circumcised. And she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. And she shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary. Not come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. So what was the law that had to be fulfilled? Jesus had to be circumcised. And she had to wait that 33 days to be cleansed. And then Exodus chapter 22 and verse 29. Thou shalt not delay to offer the first of the ripe fruits and of the liquors, the firstborn of thy sons shall thou give unto me. So that was the law. He had to be circumcised. She had to wait to the day of purification. And then she could come into the sanctuary. And she had to give the firstborn. Every firstborn was given to the Lord, even of the animals. Every firstborn, because every firstborn in Egypt, God took. So that's why she was in the temple. Because she was fulfilling the law. And isn't it wonderful that God distinguishes between the rich and the poor? It tells us in the Old Testament that the rich, they could afford animals. But if you were poor, then it tells us here, you can give either 2 doves or 2 pigeons. God looks after everyone. He sees who can give and who can't give, and he'll receive from those who can't give what they can give. And the main thing that the Bible says that God wants from us, we found in Proverbs. Give me your heart, son. Give me your heart. That's what God wants. Have you given God your heart? Why does God want your heart and not your brain? Why does God want your heart and not your strength? Because Jesus says to his disciples, it's from the heart that defiles. It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. It's what comes out of your mouth. And what comes out of your mouth comes from your heart. And then he'll use your brain. Then he'll use your strength. He'll give you them. But I find it amazing that that's all that God asks from me, is my heart. And by giving him my heart, I give him everything. And if you've given the Lord your heart, you've given him everything. God owns your house. God owns your money. God owns your car. They're all things that God has given you. But they all belong to God. And we should use them appropriately. Lord, Now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. You see, he believed God. He not only listened to the Holy Spirit, but he believed the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit told him, you will see the Christ. You will recognize the Christ, because I will show you the Christ. That's why he came in at that version, that proper time, because the Holy Spirit drove him in, or brought him in. And he knew that this one that Mary was holding was the Christ. There was nothing different between this baby and another baby that was being dedicated. They both looked the same. He couldn't tell the difference. He couldn't say one was sinless and the other one was not sinless. To him, every baby would have been sinful. But the Holy Spirit showed him that this one was the Christ. And who was it that showed me the Christ? How did I recognize the Christ? Because the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, it's imperative that I go to heaven, because if I don't go back there, then the Holy Spirit won't come. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he will lead you into all truth. He will show you. He will tell you the things about me. He won't speak about himself. He'll speak about me. He'll show you me. And you will understand what the Holy Spirit is saying about me. That I am the Christ. Now, I hope you don't think I'm saying I am the Christ. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. That the Holy Spirit revealed him to me. And I was able to recognize him. That this man was the one who died on the cross. He shed his blood that my sins might be forgiven. I couldn't tell. I would never have recognized. Even though I was brought up in the Sunday school, I didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. It was because we were sent. My father used to give us a sixpence to put in the collection. And what did we do with the sixpence? Well, on the way to the church, there used to be a little sweetie shop. And we used to go into the sweetie shop with a sixpence and come out with threepence. And the threepence used to go in the collection box. Now, that was a sin. I was sinning against my father and I was also sinning against the Lord. If my father had found out, I know what he would have done. But I didn't know at the time that the Lord knew. But he dealt with me in mercy. And that, you can multiply that 1,000 times. Things that we have done against God. And he has been so gracious. Just like he was to Simeon here. I'm going to show you the Christ. And then I'm going to take you. It doesn't tell us how long he lived after it. But I would imagine, now that he has seen the Christ, and that he had been waiting for all that time, and he had been wanting to see the Christ, that now he was going to welcome death. Oh, death, where is your sting? It's been removed. It's been removed. Time has gone well over my time. I just want to say this. Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. Coming to church won't save you, but it's good. Reading the Bible won't save you, but it's good. Only faith, which is a gift of God, will save us. And not say that faith that saves us is the same faith that keeps us, because we are kept by faith. We are kept by the power of God, through faith, against that last day. And the question is this, my last word. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Let's pray.